So I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 2:06. Thank you, everyone. Can we start with the roll call?
Okay. Sarah Hill?
Here.
Atta Bird?
I have somebody on mute. Here.
Danielle Cornelius?
Here.
Mr. Curry?
Here.
Jenna Dower?
Here.
Emily Enderly? Hope Kasten? Donna Shaw?
Here.
Miranda Shake?
Here.
Kyla Waltermeyer? And Carol Zeese. Okay. All right, then we'll go ahead and move on to the approval of minutes from the October 6, 2022 meeting. Did everyone have a chance to take a look at those?
I'll move to accept the meeting or accept the minutes as presented.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you so much. And we do need to do a roll call vote. A roll call vote. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Mr. Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay, great. Then we can go ahead and move on to new business. We do have a volunteer who's interested in becoming the new school library representative, Dawn Taylor. Dawn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's good to see you.
My library is a little chaotic right now. We have construction going on, and students, so keep it quiet as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dawn, for being here today. Okay, and so would someone like to make a motion to include Dawn on the Share Executive Council?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I saw Donna.
This is Esther, I'll second it.
Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call vote. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay, well, congratulations and welcome to the Share Executive Council, Dawn. We're so glad to have you. Thank you. Okay. So the next thing that we have on our agenda today are the share definitions. And so we had some questions. A practicum student who was working with us, and some of the projects that we had were looking at our policies and procedures and streamlining some of those. And we realized as we were doing it that some of the language was kind of drifting. And so we decided to actually start at a basis of definitions, because a borrowing library, like if for our purposes, that doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a good indicator. Who is the borrower? Is the place that is circulating? Is it the place that's lending? And so we wanted to make sure that our language was really precise. And so we looked at those definitions. And so I wanted to send those out to the committee so you have a chance to review those. There are some that there were some fairly extensive changes specifically for the supplying library. Some of the terminology had changed when the Illinet code changed. And so that was actually back in 2015, and our language, our definitions just never changed. So I wanted to have send that out to the Share Executive Council to make sure that you all had a chance to look at that. I know that it's also been shared with the Share Circulation Committee. And so if anybody had any questions or concerns about that, you'd have a chance to review. So did anybody have any questions or concerns? I know I sent it out yesterday afternoon, so if you haven't had a chance to look at it, but you're more than welcome to reach out after the meeting as well.
I looked at it and I just had two quick suggestions.
Sure.
Under the barcoding library, the very last sentence in it where it says library staff, it should be do instead of does, if you match the tense That's the English teacher in me. And then you include in the definitions Dewey Decimal. So I wonder if that means you should also include Library of Congress and genre shelving, if that's what the other libraries in our system do.
Okay.
It's just an idea.
Yeah, good idea. Thank you.
And this is Jenna. I had just one English teacher. I'm not an English teacher, but an English teacher tweak on the review under the shared governance. It just seemed really backwards to say it that way, but if you want to say it that way, you could. But to me, I thought you should say the shared executive council, being the subject of the sentence, shall review the governance document every 2 years.
Okay, let me take a look at that one. Give me just one moment.
Is that under definitions or is that a different document?
It's, I guess it's not a definite. I don't know what it is actually. It's just, it says approved-review 2012-09-17. It's the PDF.
Okay.
It's the one right before the shared definitions in my order.
Okay. So I see what you mean. Just changing the sentence structure a little bit, the review of shared governance to say shared executive council shall review every 2 years.
I would.
Okay.
It's just me being picky, but.
Yeah, I think the, I'm trying to think, because it's not a change in content. I think we could probably change the wording, but I might want to double check that to see if we need to send it out for vote. Because any changes to governance we usually do, but I think that if it's just changing the language but not changing the meaning, but we could certainly include that as well. Does that, okay, so if we say the Shared Executive Council shall review the governance document every 2 years, does that wording work for everyone? Okay, great. Okay, so that is, I'm going to come back to that when we talk about the governance review under old business, and we'll just reiterate that as part of the full scope of the governance documents as we go through those and clarify those. All right, is there any other comments for the shared definitions? Okay, well, and again, if there are any suggestions or you see anything wonky after, then please feel free to go ahead and reach out to me, and then we can make those changes as well. Okay, so next up is a proposal that we have shared with the Share Finance and Policy Committee for an affiliate expansion, and I know that I had mentioned that we were still ironing out the details, but I think that the Share Finance and Policy Committee is ready to move forward with a full proposal that we expand our affiliate program out to our school libraries so that they can use Share as almost like a free trial before pursuing membership. So they can utilize it as an interlibrary loan option and make that case to their administration that Share would be a benefit to their students. And with that, offer them first priority for any grant funding that we may receive. And so, because a huge barrier is the $6,500. And so with that, we're hoping to roll that out as a pilot program next year. But as part of it, the Share Finance and Policy Committee thought that it would be really important to outline the responsibilities and have it be almost a selective process of who is going to be an affiliate, and so that they understand the responsibilities that come along with the affiliate expansion, of that they need to provide data to their administration, they've got to utilize the program, they've got to you know, promote the program to their faculty so that it's utilized. And so with that, I am in the process of working on an agreement that would be between the affiliates that are interested in pursuing the program. And so I didn't have that done quite yet, but I wanted to bring it up to the committee to see if anybody has any suggestions or concerns before we moved forward with that proposal.
Some thoughts I have on that. Like, that's the sort of thing I would have loved. Like, I remember looking into it when I was back, you know, several years ago at Paxton Buckley Loda. Since the public library there is so small, underfunded, you know, not a high level of staff being, you know, and so on. It's really just hard, you know, those sort of areas to get materials and resources. And I remember looking into SHARE and then seeing the price and all the requirements for the VARC, you know, the cataloging, and thinking there's no way with my, you know, a few hundred dollar book budget, I could ever get, you know, support for this, and giving up on it. So I think that'd be a wonderful thing. But I also think a lot of librarians in that position are going to be the one person at that school or district even, and they're probably going to need a lot of support, you know, to get that process started, because Polaris and SHARE are very different creatures than our school, you know, Destiny program that most of us are familiar with using.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I have a question. Is it going to be, we expand this, and you said it was just for interlibrary loans, so that they can place holds on our items, et cetera, and expect delivery to deliver like once a week, twice a week, whatever it turns out to be. How do we bill them for lost items, or who's responsible? Because now our items are going to people that aren't really in SHARE. We don't know who it's checked out to. We, you know, because we don't have a student name.
So those are going to be billed just the same way. It's part of the ILLINET code, not necessarily something that comes from SHARE. So the student, the library would be billed. So the current affiliate program, and I'm so sorry, I should have probably started with that. The current affiliate program is something that's sponsored through the Illinois State Library that says that we are required to provide service to any standalone library that does not have an integrated library system. And then with that, they are almost a patron, I guess you could say, of Illinois Heartland Library System, the institution. So they get an institution card that they can use to request request materials. And so when in that case, they are using the card, and then they can provide that item out to their patrons with whatever system that they have to do that. So the affiliate expansion would just expand on that. So the recipients of this program, that again, we want to have them apply, we want to explain the responsibilities. And you are absolutely right, Donna, that they're not going to have access to circulation software or anything like that. We're not doing any cataloging. It's going to be specifically for the interlibrary loan piece. And so with that, it's a set time frame of 3 years. So it's not an ongoing program for an extended period of time. They would be required to either participate in full membership, or the program would expire after 3 years. And then from there, the lost items would follow just the current ILLINET code, which we can outline that as part of their responsibilities, that they understand if those items are lost or damaged, they would be ultimately responsible.
Okay. Thank you. That helped a little bit. Maybe I should know more about the affiliate program, but I didn't. So thank
you.
Yeah,
and we only have about a half a dozen affiliates. We don't have very many at all.
Well, I'm certainly for access, and it does take sometimes administration to see a benefit before they're willing to put dollars on the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, 3 years is kind of a long time, but by the time you train teachers and people to say to the librarian, hey, I need this resource, I need this, and get students capable of requesting, I guess I'm also a little fuzzy on how they're going to know that we have a heavily, you know, manga source here in our building. You know what I mean? How do they find these resources? Because they could look them up, but then they couldn't place a hold on them because they're only going to have an institutional card.
Well, from my perspective, so what we do in our building is most of the students actually don't get to use interlibrary loan. We do it, okay, you know, for them, and we check it out to them. It depends on their library record. So those kids that have lost books or don't turn them in on time,
sure,
I'm sorry. No, sweetie, you don't get to do that unless the teacher wants to be responsible for it, because we don't have the kind of budget to replace all those books they're going to lose. There are certain students, though, once you get to know them, you get to talk to them. You know, if they're in there every other day getting a new manga book or getting a new graphic novel and talking to you about it, so you'll know who they are. And you'll be like, hey, you know what? I think I can trust you. Let me tell you about this new program. And those are the kids you try it out for. You come up with that plan where you're going to keep the book and so on. It's your teachers that are going to probably be the biggest users, I would suspect. And that's what we're doing, is we're placing those class list holds. Like, we need this for our novel study. Hey, I want six of this and six of another. Or I just want a book to read, you know, for myself. That's where we, you know, in a middle school library, at least do our biggest sort of thing. Now, high school, and again, it might be different, but I'm still going to say you would know whoever's there at those schools knows their patrons enough to be able to really start building it that way, I think, and not have that danger of everyone's ordering everything and not returning stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Well, Ada, I'm really glad to get your feedback that you think that this would be a good program for our school libraries. And so, again, what I want to do is bring the proposal to our next meeting. I'd like to bring the proposal as well as the contract that would outline responsibilities to make sure everybody has a chance to look that over before we do a final approval for this pilot project. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have one question, though. So you had said, so it's 3 years and then it expires. Do they have a requirement that they have to sign on, or just once the 3 years are done, it expires, then they lose access?
So they're not required to sign on. If they try this as an experiment, they decide to go in a different direction, no harm, no foul. But they would not be able to join again after that 3 years. That's 3 years is, you know, I compared it to, you know, you get that free trial and, you know, that once it's done, it's done. But we, I think really the biggest benefit is finding a way to, offer support for the transition fees. And if that's either through grant funding, which fingers crossed, we really hope that that will be the case, or if that's maybe even considering waiving those fees for any library that wants to join as a graduation from this program and to bring them on that way. But I have been talking to several different sources trying to get funding and support. So we'll hopefully be able to offer it as a full true expansion for our schools. Okay. Any other questions about the affiliate expansion proposal? No? Okay. All right. So we have been collecting member comment for several different categories, and the first step has been Aspen. And so if you haven't had a chance to review those member comments, we have them on the SHARE website, but it's generally very clearly in two camps of the member comment is either this is great, we think that we have the money and we're interested, whether that's at the $250 level or further up at the $2,500 level, or please don't make us all do this, we don't have the money, just bottom line. And so I think I am pretty firm in the decision that we are not offering this as a share-wide product, because there's so many libraries that just simply cannot afford it. And so with that, the pricing, I think, is going to be a range between $250 up to $2,500. We have to get 25 libraries at $2,500 to make our annual fee. If we don't get that, there's just really very little we can do to move forward to offer it to everybody. However, we do have more of an a la carte option with the vendor. The pricing is a little bit different. We'd still have to come up with some type of scale. But even then, I don't think that if we don't get the support consortium-wide, I don't know that we're going to get the support for the a la carte option either. So I'm really hopeful, but it's something that's still in development with the Share Finance and Policy Committee, especially for the pricing. And so I would like to... sorry, I saw the comment coming in. I'm so sorry for getting distracted. I would like to ask the Share Executive Council if we are ready to send this out for member vote, not for that yes, you're going to purchase this product. That'll come a little bit later. I'd like to send it out for vote that the libraries that want to participate, that Share will be willing to move forward. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, Cassandra, but for myself, I mean, I would be interested in it if it were on the lower end of the spectrum. I can't, you know, answer that question and say yes and then be required to get it if it turns out it's going to be $1,000 for my library.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I want there to be some like stipulation that this isn't, obviously you're not requiring someone to purchase it, but I don't know how you're going to word it.
Well, and that is definitely something that I want to make clear that there's two different hurdles. The first piece is that we send it out to members that they are okay with moving forward with Aspen for those that want it. The second piece is when we actually offer it out to start maybe in July of next year. Are you interested in this product? And then what we did with the Collection HQ, which unfortunately we didn't get the participation, but we sent it out like an RSVP. At what price point could your library move forward with this product? And if we say $2,500 and we get 25 libraries, great. But if it's $1,000 and we get 19, and then, but however we can make the financial piece work. But there has been a commitment that if you're just getting a base package, you just have Cloud Library, that you'd only spend $250. If you're a school, even if you do have additional e-resources, you'd only spend $250. So there's kind of a tier between the base package at $250 and then the upper layer, you would not pay more than $2,500. And so we'll have to develop a scale, but I'm going to try to do that RSVP program of saying, you know, 500 to 750, you know, and so we can really try to scale it between the libraries based on revenue and enrollments, or not, excuse me, not enrollments, but revenues and enrollments for academics, for example. So it's probably not going to be $2,500, but we have to have the equivalent of 25 libraries at $2,500 in order to move forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think, I just wish everyone could see it.
Yeah. You know, well, and that's too. The plan. That's definitely yeah. The okay. plan. We've been promoting it at ILA Member Day. We're going to set up some demos and we're going to actually have them demo at the January meeting as well. So we want everybody to see it. But again, the next step is just to have Share members agree to move forward for those that want it, because we can't do anything until we get that buy-in for at least we are selecting this product for those that want it. So I think if we are going to move it to from member comment to an actual vote, we do need a motion and a second to, again, very specifically move forward with Aspen for the libraries that are interested.
I can make that motion. It's Miranda. Okay.
This is Esther. I second
could you
that.
Repeat the motion?
Sure, Donna. So the motion, again, this is just to move forward with Aspen with Bywater Solutions for the members that want to utilize it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So I've got a first and a second, and I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I will continue working with the Share Finance and Policy Committee on the pricing once we get feedback from, again, we meet that threshold of getting member buy-in to move forward with that vendor. And then the second piece of actually putting it out for an RSVP program of those that are interested.
Real quick, okay. Cassie, Emily is here now. She joined at 212 if we wanted to include her in the future votes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Emily. I am so sorry about that.
That's okay. I say yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I'm so sorry for not including you.
No, I'm sorry for being late. We were having some staffing issues today.
No, no problem. I've been there. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jace, for checking in with me on that.
Absolutely.
All right. So next up for member comment was through the Share Circulation Committee, and this is collecting fines at fine-free libraries. This has been a huge loophole for fine-free libraries and libraries that are not, of the revenue belongs to the library where the person is standing in front of them. Do they have the authority to waive those fines? And so we've sent a proposal out to the Share Circulation Committee after doing a survey. The survey was inconclusive. There were really a lot of different opinions on how we should handle that loophole. And so it was extremely unclear. We did get some, we got very few comments back when we sent it out for member comment after our last meeting. And we actually have another meeting here in about a week. Unfortunately, with that, the comments, there's still a desire to waive fines for customer service for the fine-free libraries. I also got a comment back today via email that is a library in a this same scenario that said, well, I shouldn't have to pay fines because it's a fine-free library, and I went there and they told me I had to go to my other library, and the director was concerned because, you know, it's causing problems for them as someone who, or as a organization that does charge those late fees, because now they're having to deal with the customer service issue for their patron, that they're setting those policies. And so there's issues of customer service on both ends, but I think that our proposal has always been in line with our current policy that you don't touch other libraries' patron accounts for blocks, and that we want to provide good customer service. So we don't want people saying, well, we're fine free, we're not accepting the money. And so that proposal will be discussed next week at our Share Circulation Committee. This, if we go with the existing proposal, it is considered a minor change, that it's in line with our existing policies to not touch patron accounts. So we will clarify that includes waiving fines. If it's anything more significant with after discussion, if we do decide to make a change, that will probably have to go out for member vote. But it will be discussed next week. So if anybody wants to attend that meeting, please feel free. If you have comments on that topic, or if you'd like to add a comment, it is still on the Share website and available to do so. Anybody have any comments about collecting fines at fine free libraries?
I actually have one. I am now surrounded by a very large fine-free library and another couple of small ones, and I'm actually losing patrons to those libraries. They're actually choosing to go down the road and they're checking out only their stuff and not my stuff, even though I have the exact same copy. But they are now using my delivery to return it to those libraries. So I'm doing a lot of work and it makes me feel terrible because I can't waive the fines. I'm trying to figure it out, but I think this is really putting a lot of pressure on us who have a need for this financial money. That's my wiggle room money. That's my ad in the yearbook money. That's whatever I need to pay lost books with, that sort of thing. And it's really, really hitting certain libraries hard. And I almost want to say I have a sad feeling that there might be staff members actually saying, well, don't go to your like local library, come to us instead, and you won't ever have to have that fine.
Right.
And I think there's almost being almost a recruitment at some points against us. And I feel that really strongly in my area.
So Donna, I would invite you to place a member comment because they will be reviewed at next week's meeting. And you're also more than welcome to attend, of course. But for all of the drafts for member comment that we're discussing today, if you'd like to add comments, please feel free to do so. Because I know it really is, it's a six of one and half dozen of the other situation that somebody's going to have, you know, poor customer service. I do think, though, that if we standardize this to come down on the side of existing philosophy, that it's going to start to be, this is the answer, we do not do this. And therefore, there will be friction at first. But once patrons are aware that fine-free libraries are not going to waive the fine if you don't live in their district, if that is the case and that's how we end up going, I do hope that that's going to start to resolve some of those issues.
So is that the problem with like fine-free libraries are waiving other libraries' fines? If that if the patron comes in, if Joe comes in to a fine-free library, but he goes, his home library is down the road, say it's Smithton, we charge fines. So he's having the library that doesn't charge fines waive his fines. How is that happening though, if we're not supposed to touch other people's?
Well, it says that it's very specific to blocks, but the loophole is that if they went to Belleville, for example, and was checking out at Belleville, it's Belleville's revenue. So there's the argument that they would be entitled to waive those fines because it's their revenue. However, it's causing this problem that they're not going to Smithton anymore. They're going to Belleville because they know they're going to waive the fines. And I don't know if Belleville is fine free. I think they are, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay, now I understand the problem. I didn't understand the problem before.
So there's also a second problem of fine free libraries not necessarily waiving the fines, but saying, well, you have fees, you need to deal with that with your home library, which not accepting payment. Now, if there's a concern or a dispute, I still think that obviously they need to talk to their home library about that. But if they just want to pay the $5 and be able to check out, I think that they should accept the money. That's also part of that proposal, asking member libraries to accept payment, which is also in line with our existing policy. So that's not a change. But there have been libraries that have been refusing payment. So we need to clarify that. Any other questions about that?
Yes. Okay. How does that work logistically? So say I'm not charging overdue fees or whatever, but someone comes in here and they owe, you know, $3 or whatever for another library. So they give me $3. And I say, great. How do I'm just putting cash in the mail? I mean, is there?
We're going to leave that up to each individual library, how they handle it. They can either accept the payment and keep it, which is existing policy, or they can say anything over a certain amount, we're going to go ahead and send them a check, or they could just put it in their slush fund and keep it. It's going to be entirely up to them. Now, that's only for fines for late items. That's not including lost or damaged, because that always goes back to the owning library. Okay. Any other questions or concerns about that? Okay. All right. So I have next up on the agenda, the barcode refresher training. And so that's also an item up for member comment. And so I want to go ahead and turn that over to Jen to discuss that a little bit more.
Thanks, Cassandra. And I apologize if I turn my mic off suddenly. I am battling a cold right now, and I don't think anybody wants to hear me cough. So we have been talking about barcoder refresher training for quite some time. We're seeing more and more violations of street dates, people circulating on order records, volume field usage. And we're hoping, among other things, and we're hoping that this training will reinforce what we've been trying to get across to everybody via emails and in cataloger's training sessions of please stop doing this. This is what we need to do. So the requirements will be that every current barcoder will have to retake this training sometime between February of 2023 and December 31st of 2023. Anybody who does not complete it will have their barcoding permissions turned off on January 1 until they actually complete the training. It should be shorter than the new barcoder training. We're hoping no more than 2 hours. It will consist of several modules with brief little blurbs to read, maybe a small video or two to watch, and then questions to answer to ensure that they're actually watching it and reading it. Any questions? Okay. This won't apply to catalogers. That has been the biggest question we received. We are trusting that they are paying attention because they are in it every day, or they are not doing the actual barcoding themselves. However, the BIB Standards Committee did agree that to myself or whoever may be in this position in the future reserves the right to have anybody who continuously violates any procedures to retake the training. We do hold that right to mandate it.
Okay, well, if there aren't any questions, then I would like to send
I have one. I just have one quick question about that. Sure. And just refresh my memory because I can probably do this on my own. Where can I find a list of all my staff who has cataloging or barcoding rights? Where is that list?
That is a great question. So I'm not sure from the patron side if you can see who's in individual permission groups, but if you shoot me an email, I will send you that. Okay. I've also been collecting all this data for all the libraries, and I'm trying to think of the best and most efficient way to communicate with all the libraries who have permission groups about who's in them. Are those people still there? Do we need to make some changes? And who will have to do the training? I'm hoping to have that piece put together no later than the end of January so I can get that sent out to everybody and get the process started.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have one quick question. I know that when ancient history coming up here, when we first started on Polaris and everything, some cataloging permissions were given to, I think, all staff. And I don't know if that's still, but they're not considered barcoders because to change an item from in to missing or mm-hmm. something like that, you had to have barcoding. Yes. To be able to do that. So that's not going to affect any of those people, right?
It okay. shouldn't. So shouldn't. There are libraries who have limited barcoding permission groups. So those libraries who have those, I'll include that in the email. And okay. we'll do a general cleanup, but we'll also make sure, do these people actually need the full refresher training, or are they just good to go with what they do?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Perfect. Yeah, no problem.
So I had an issue with my staff lately. Mm-hmm. A person who was my barcoder for a very, very long time just decided to leave us after 20 years. And so I had to hire somebody in this position, and I hadn't had to do that for a while. She starts Friday, and I had already got her login, but when I was filling out the form requesting the login, mm-hmm. it only basically said, you know, give me her name, et cetera, and what library she needs to be on, but not what I was requesting permission for. And I would just like to encourage on those forms to actually be able to check a box saying definitely circulation, barcoding after training, something like that, because there was no way for me to indicate, you know, do I need to give her permission in other modules? So with that person leaving, my person who does my magazines also went out the door, and I had to give that to a different member of my staff. And I had to just send in a trouble ticket because I couldn't figure out a way to request it. So maybe that form just needs to be looked at a little bit.
So that actually brings up another very great topic. We have created a new training contract for the bibliographic services, and that should hopefully be going up on the website soon for review. But this way you would be able to submit that form to myself, and we indicate on it both barcoding and cataloging, and you could choose one or both depending on what your staff member needed. And I could also add one for serials.
I think you should.
Okay.
Because it's not always necessarily the same person.
Definitely not. No. So yes, I can send that to the committee, or if you would like, I can send that out to everybody so you can see what I'm talking about.
And are we talking it at the about that at the next bid meeting?
We did talk about it briefly, I believe.
Okay, I was there. I'm also the chair, and I don't remember this conversation.
No problem.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I need chocolate or something.
Oh, I understand. No, I can definitely, I'll send it back out to bid standards again, but if anybody, other committees or executive would like it, I can send it out as well to that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we do need to send this out for, this is a pretty big change for our requirements, and so it does need to go out to the full share membership for a vote. Would someone like to make a motion to send it for vote?
This is Donna. I'll make that motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
This is Esther. I'll second it.
Okay. All right, so we'll do a roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
Yes.
And I saw that Hope joined us. Thank you so much, Hope. Would you like to vote on this or abstain? Or I didn't know how much you've had a chance to hear of the topic.
I caught the part where you were saying how this will be a new training requirement to try and alleviate some issues. So I didn't get the beginning where it's like the context of who or what is the problem. Okay. So it might be better if I abstain. I feel like I'm a little muddy on the topic, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then Donna Shaw?
Yes.
And Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. All right, then I'm going to go ahead and next topic is the problem resolution for bibliographic services. And I'll go ahead and turn that back over to Jennifer.
Okay, thank you. So this was just updating some language in the document that has been around since we formed as a group. The biggest changes are that the bibliographic services manager would be sending out updates on completed CE hours, I believe, 4 times a year, 3 or 4, it's like 6, 10, and 6, 9, 12, something like that. It's in the exact language. I apologize. I don't have it off the top of my head. Just to make sure all of our catalogers are on the same page with us about how many hours they have in their fiscal remaining to complete in the fiscal year. The other big change was adding in the barcoder refresher training, and that would be every 2 years. And then the 2 years would be based off the date that they either obtain their permissions or the last time they took the refresher training.
And so just to clarify, Jen, and I'm so sorry, this is just to refresh my memory, because the barcoder refresher training is being addressed in another vote for the problem resolution, that just needs to go to the Executive Council for approval based on the member vote as a minor change. Is that right? Or does it need to go for member vote?
I'd say with both of them, the two changes combined, I'd say member vote.
Okay.
To be safe.
Okay, and so does anybody have any questions on the problem resolution? Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to accept that to send it out for vote?
This is Esther. I'll make that motion.
Okay. And do I have a second?
This is Emily. I'll second that.
Okay. All right. Roll call vote. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
Yes.
Hope Kasten?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
And Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other old business, or excuse me, new business? Okay, moving on. Old business, we have a governance review, and earlier in the meeting, Jenna had suggested that we adjust the language to make it more readable for the review period being every 2 years. That's not an actual change in policy, just a change in the language. I also wanted to, as part of the review, what we were doing and looking at was the meeting schedule, but I noticed there were some other issues. And then because we're doing the review, I wanted to send some of the other ones for like parliamentary procedures. I don't think there's anything that needs to be changed, but as part of the review, I went ahead and sent that out. So the ones that are ones that we probably should look at was adjusting some of the language for this share executive council. And so, for example, we don't have a secretary. That's just not been a practice. And so, did anybody have it? Did you all have a chance to look at that before the meeting? Did anybody have any comments on that?
The only comment I have involves the executive council one and also the membership types. Is it's a little unclear what share is. So for example, under executive council, we refer to it as a consortium and an automation group. But then under membership types, we call it a community. Mm-hmm. So it's a little unclear. And also IHLS isn't even mentioned on the membership type page. So those were my comments.
So I did see that because it was at one point referred to as the LSAP, which is a very jargony term, yeah. That I was trying to land on something better. And I know that I've been recently just really trying to promote that SHARE is not just purchasing software, it's a community of libraries that have banded together to share resources. So do we have a preferred term of how we should refer to SHARE? Consortium is accurate. Mm-hmm. Automation group. Community is a little fuzzy.
Yeah, I like consortium because that's kind of what it is.
Clear.
That's what you guys brag about being the biggest consortium.
Automation consortium, yes. So we could be very precise in the language and clarify it's the automation consortium. And I know we have a few people who have to leave at 3 o'clock. So we'll try to, if we can't get through this today, if people have to go, that's okay. We can bring it to the next meeting. Were there any other comments while we're at the SHARE Executive Council or the meeting removing the word secretary?
I think we've never had a secretary. It makes sense to not have it listed because then people are like, why isn't it there? So, and honestly, I've been involved in this entire process all along and I didn't even realize it was there. So,
because we've changed that several times, but it's just one of the things that was held over, and looking at it as a whole, I wanted to go ahead and clean it up. So on the meetings, I did adjust it to a meeting annually versus semi-annually. We can always have more meetings, but I think a year in review is good, but I don't think we need to do that more than once unless there's some type of vote. And then I did put a comment. One of the things that we've talked about multiple times is what is a quorum for our members group? And we're getting so large that I still think that is something that maybe we will not decide today, but I think that I would like to see it changed to a majority of those that vote. But I know that there's some concerns and we'll probably need to talk about that with more committees before making a decision. But just again, bringing that to the Executive Council for review and thinking about again.
Cassandra, regarding quorum, is there such a thing as splitting, like when it's a public library to public library concern versus that school to school, maybe like collecting fines? I mean, that's more of a public issue than, you know, I know we send them out to vote sometimes separately and stuff.
And we do. So for example, cataloging libraries are only voting on cataloging concerns. Right. I can't remember if we changed it for types too, but I feel like I think the e-resources, if it's an e-resources library a concern and you don't belong to cloud library, then you're not required to vote, but I don't think that we split it so far as to different types.
I'll just throw that out there maybe as an option, you know, when it really doesn't concern a school or academic, or maybe they're just not voting anyway. And so then that's part of your quorum count. And then that's weird, you know, because it doesn't really concern them.
Right.
And vice versa, if it was something regarding their institution.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, well then we'll table, I will just maybe suggest that we can table the share full membership of the 50% plus one, because we do already have a change in the voting procedures that if it's only a cataloging concern or only an e-resources concern, that maybe we'll talk it over with share finance and policy again. And review how best to do that. I had an idea that maybe if it's a policy or policy change, or like this, the change to certification, for example, that maybe that would be a majority vote on those that vote. But maybe if it's a fee change or a fee scale issue, that maybe it does need to be the full quorum. So that way we can get business accomplished a little bit more easily without having to do, you know, trying to track people down and trying to drum up the votes, because it's very time consuming. I know it's time consuming for you all to have to make those phone calls. So that's maybe something to consider. And then the last one that had some suggested changes, the discussing membership types of changing it to automation consortium, and then changing some of the language, especially this idea of having a voting sheet for the official designee. I really wanted to change that language because that adds a layer of complexity that was great in practice when we first started, but that has not been kept up. So I think it just needs to be the library director or person in charge of the library. So I did change that language. Did anybody have any questions or concerns about that proposal? Okay. And then the last one was members group. In practice, we have not necessarily, there is a section of doing election of members to the Executive Council. In practice, we have not done that. We usually just seat members as part of the process because there's no need to vote if there's one volunteer. And so changing the language there. And then also just to clarify that for the share governance. Does anybody have any questions on that one? Okay. And so would someone like to make a motion to send these changes out to membership for a vote?
This is Esther. I'll make that motion.
Okay.
This is Miranda. I'll second.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and do a roll call. I know Sarah had to step out. So I'll go ahead and start with Ada. Ada Bird?
Yes.
Okay. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
Yes.
Hope Kasten?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right. And so I want to go ahead. Do we have any other old business? Okay, then I want to go ahead and turn it over to Ellen for the IHLS report.
Hi, everybody. It's good to see all of you today. I don't have a particularly long report, but I can share a couple good tidbits with all of you. In November, on Halloween Day, we had our new Director of Operations and Facilities start, John Becker. John sort of hit the ground running. And so he's been to each of the hubs, he's running routes with people, he's sorting with people, and he's really learning how the job is done. He comes to us with a background in working with nonprofits. So it's a real set of fresh eyes on operations, and that's great. So I hope all of you get to meet him in the near future, and we're happy to have him with us. 2 weeks ago, many of us, and I'll call out Ada here, 2 weeks ago today, we're participating in IHLS's Member Day. I believe, and I can't remember exactly, and I can't put my finger on it, I believe the last count we had of registrants was 347 people, not counting staff. So that was way above what we've ever done before. Thanks to the good people in marketing and communications and Leah Gregory, our school library liaison, we had an outstanding group of school people registered. Again, far more than we've ever had before. And Shandy Grev-Petronod told me before we got started this afternoon that for those of you who were registered for Member Day, the videos are now up in FeedLoop, so you can go back in and watch anything you didn't get a chance to see. Addie, you can watch yourself, which could be a lot of fun. No, you were great. So that's what we have for Member Day. On December 15th, we have our regularly scheduled Members Matter, and Brian Smith, who is the brain, the true back end of L2, is going to be there with us to talk about, to talk to library directors and system members about how they can most effectively use L2 and kind of tips and tricks for getting around it. So we're looking forward to that. I think all of you know that Anna Yackel has received a grant from the State Library to create a trustee training portal for public library trustees. The same day that John Becker started, Leanne Furby started as the project director for that grant, and we're really looking forward to see that develop. We're going to be reaching out to you, our membership, quite a bit over the next couple months. Anna's going to have two working groups, one for input, I believe, and one for feedback in her grant process. So be prepared to be asked for input and think about how you might like to be involved if you're with a public library. And the second thing that's happening is that in development is a working group to help system staff members explore the automatic materials handler and a possibility of implementing one of those within the system. So the work on that will probably happen beginning in January, very early in January, with some committee work happening. So stay tuned for information about that. And, you know, you think about the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and sometimes it feels personally hectic, and sometimes it feels quieter than other times. On December 14th, the leadership team at IHLS is gathering in person for one of the few times in 3 years to talk about planning for FY 2024. So, you know, stay tuned and we'll let you know what's in the works as soon as we know. So that's what I have, Cassie. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Great. Oh,
one commercial too. Don't forget, and I see a lot of veterans here on this screen. The regular annual certification process will start for all our member libraries on January 3rd. So now I'm really done, Cassie.
Okay, thank you so much, Ellen. All right, any questions for Ellen? Okay, next up we have the share staff update. A lot of what we have been doing has already been discussed. I will say that yesterday we got a contract back for the Freeburg Library. So they're our newest, the Freeburg Community High School Library. So they're our newest member. So congratulations to Freeburg. We're so glad to have them. And so I also got the opportunity to talk to the Southern Illinois Librarians Together group of ISLE. And so I got to give a presentation about SHARE. They were reviewing the different vendors that are available. And I did see quite a few of our SHARE members. So I gave my presentation, and then we had one of our member libraries say, SHARE is great. It's worth the money. You guys should join. And so that's the great thing about working with you guys. It's not just purchasing a software, it's people who are really committed and working to making SHARE a great product and a great community and automation consortium. So it was really great to hear. So that's all I have today. Bibliographic services. Jen, do you have anything you want to share?
Sure. Other than the barcoder refresher training, which we are hoping to get done very quickly, we are working on just normal cleanup, trying to make things better for everyone's patrons, easier to find. We're also starting to work on our training schedule for next year, so we are more than happy to have ideas and suggestions for training. We did shorten the cataloger's training session to 1 hour. We found that people are more likely to be engaged, less likely to zone out if we shortened it, made it a briefer topic. We are planning on having maybe once a quarter doing a more in-depth training where we would go 2 hours, but that's as we can do it. And then we also added an additional program each month called Share Your Cataloging Questions. That's open to any catalogers, whether they're in SHARE or not, and barcoders, and they can come ask all of us questions, kind of free form. If you attend, you get an hour of CE. And it's been really well received thus far. We've gotten some great questions. We've gone down some rabbit holes, but that's always entertaining. And anyone here is welcome to join us. You don't have to register. The link's on Zoom each month. That's all I have.
Great. Thanks so much, Jen. Dina, do you have anything for administrative services side?
I do. I was multitasking. Sorry about that. I have been working with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in getting back to them their Lincoln's Legacy kits. Those are 15 years old now, and quite a few of our shared libraries have them. I don't have one in my office right now. I already took it back to delivery. Basically, they're a big suitcase of items that dealt with everything, you know, like slavery in Illinois was one. I think there was like a Civil War soldier. They reevaluated the kits, and in today's political climate, some of the items that were in the kits were not necessarily politically correct. So they just decided just to pull all of those kits and we're sending them back. So I'm in the process of getting all of those back in. We are working on the end of the year is quickly approaching. I was just telling them today here, how is it December the 1st already? So I'm getting ready to start our end of the year processing for Polaris. I'm going to make sure all that's set. One thing, we haven't publicized this yet, but currently we have an upgrade for Polaris scheduled on December the 10th during those Saturday overnight hours. So I am currently weeding through about 200 pages of documentation from Polaris to really see what is being included in those upgrades, testing some things out that they're doing. And then I also, every time we do an upgrade, I do a little, just like a PowerPoint with a voiceover to let everybody know what is included in the upgrades. I will, a little sneak peek for you. There really isn't anything super fun and exciting and glamorous for this upgrade to 7.3. The biggest thing that a lot of libraries will be happy about is you will be able to use Label Manager in Leap. That's the biggest thing. And then serials, Polaris really worked on serials, getting that upgraded and integrated into Leap. Another question I always get is about the reports, all of the specialized reports and custom reports that we have for libraries. I spoke with our account representative Tuesday. She said they know she said they knew they're working on it, but it has not been scheduled. So at some point, all of those reports will be integrated into Leap in the future, but they do not have a date yet, and they don't even have it on their roadmap that they have. So that's where I'm at, just plugging along here.
Okay.
Dina, this is Donna. Is that just mostly at Leap updates, or is it
there are Polaris a few as things. Well? Most of the upgrades anymore tend to be Leap focused because they're working on getting Leap fully integrated as to what Polaris is. There are a few things that deal with Polaris too, but it's really more on the back end of things, not on the library staff side.
Okay, thank you.
Good question, Donna. Thank you. Okay. Any additional questions for Dina? All right, then we'll go ahead and move on to bibliographic services and cataloging standards with Donna.
I don't think I have anything else to add since I think Jen pretty much took care of everything.
Okay. Then Esther put in the comments, but she had to leave at 3 o'clock and had the same that we've already discussed, the things that were out for member comment. So I'll turn it over to Miranda for finance and policy.
Sure. So we had a meeting in November, and as the other groups, we've discussed quite a bit of what we already did. We had a really long demo of Aspen that day. So that took up a good chunk of our meeting. And I just can't wait for everybody else to see it. I think it's a pretty cool product. We obviously had our financial review, which is always, you know, thrilling and exciting information to have. And we talked a lot about logins, which is one thing I don't think we've talked about today, Cassie, but students, volunteers, board members having logins. There was some discussion about that at our meeting. No action just yet on that. And then, you know, we approved the affiliate expansion, which Cassie's already talked about too. So that was our meeting. Missing anything, Cassie?
Nope, I don't think so. All right, thank you, Miranda. And then lastly, we have the e-resources committee. And so that actually is Kyla, and she's out, but we have not met since our last meeting. All right, so no update there. Okay, now do we have any public comment? Okay, do we have any announcements? All right, no announcements. Since the next meeting is going to be the annual meeting, which will be January 12th, 2023 at 2 p.m. And then our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Thursday, February 2nd at 2023 at 2 p.m. I also want to point out that our April meeting may be disrupted due to the budget cycle. We might want to push that meeting back instead of meeting earlier in April, actually meeting on April 20th instead, so we can get in the cycle between the IHLS Finance Committee when the draft budget is proposed and then sent out to the full IHLS Board of Trustees. We usually try to get a meeting in between there. So I'm going to propose an alternative date of April 20th. So you may just want to make a note of that on your calendars, though we'll talk about that more at our next official meeting and confirm that. Okay. Donna, any questions about our upcoming meetings? Okay. Donna, would it be okay if I turn it over to you to say the magic words to adjourn the meeting?
Oh, because she left. Okay, yes.
Sarah had to step out.
Thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting, please?
And Donna, if you could
I keep changing that and I keep forgetting every single time. I'm old-fashioned, I guess. So I will adjourn this meeting at 3:17 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for attending.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate all your participation and thoughtful responses today.
Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.